because I'll tend to start looking at myself a little bit like, how do I look?
It really isn't about seeing us. The reason, here's the thing that I've kind of figured out.
I hope it's not about seeing
us. It has nothing to do with seeing us. But the thing is, video has more applications than podcasts, right? Exactly. So you can put videos on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all these things. I'll do an intro. Welcome to The Other 167. This is The Other 167 Day. Yeah. I'm coming in with cold coffee on two wheels. You're coming in on two wheels.
I just came in from chapel with a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds. So and then had to look at a personnel thing. So I'm flying in.
And I'm not, this is my last, I want to get into some stuff because it's been three weeks.
It's been a long time, brother. I've been missing.
We've gone so long this time, we can just start over. There's no reason for me to bother with all my notes now. I haven't seen it. But it's been a really cool break. I had a great time. I got to do something. I don't know if I've ever done this. I thought about this this morning. I got to spend New Year's with Mom and Dad. Okay. I don't know if I've ever spent New Year's with Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad got divorced when I was 3 and married when I was 15. Right. So I was thinking about it. We went up, me and the kids hung out with them New Year's Eve, and I thought, I haven't done that since high school. And I thought, no, I wouldn't hang out with them in high school. I don't know where I was.
Since you were 3?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably 3. That's probably 3 years old since I spent it with both parents.
That is cool, man.
That was pretty cool. So it was a nice break, but we said we weren't very tech savvy. I got to tell you something.
You're pretty good at it.
No, I'm not. Hold that thought. So I'm on Facebook a couple of days ago, and it's been bugging me a little bit. Every time I don't get on Facebook very much. But what I do, the pictures were from like 8 years ago. Old pictures.
Here's your memories.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I really ought to at least update that. I mean, I'm not on there much, but that's 10 years ago. I mean, that's ridiculous.
My last post was my birthday, or not my birthday. Oh, I was thanking people for my birthday wishes.
Mm-hmm.
I look back. It was I thank people for my birthday wishes.
That's
every post. That's me. Yeah. Or I might post happy birthday to my wife.
Yeah.
2 posts a year.
That's it. Well, that's usually been my cadence for about the last 5 years. I haven't posted a whole lot. Really, after COVID, I couldn't deal with that.
It was too much nonsense. Yeah. People going back and forth. And I just got to a place where I was like, look, I'm not that important to people to know what I'm eating for supper.
Yeah.
You know, and I looked at my stuff. I was so busy about, look at my kids. Oh, yeah, here's she doing. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be proud of my kids and not have to post it.
Well, I'm proud of the kids. And I did like that, you know, when I was posting pictures of the kids a lot, it was nice to have a place to go back and see your memories in the comments.
And let people, I like that. But it just became so much that, oh, okay, they won the national, or they won the child of the class of the year or month. And I'm like, all right, that's not a.
If you're trying to work on pride and humility, social media is a tough place to go.
Yeah, I had a best friend who used to call it brag book.
Yeah.
Because that's all people want to do is brag about what I've done, how good I am, or what I've done. And that stuck with me. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I don't have to put all my stuff out there.
So I finally decided to go update my photo on there. And I'm like, well, I'm going to update my photo, my cover photo, and my profile picture and all this. And I did it. And then I went back about whatever I was doing. And I go back later, and I got on Facebook or something. I had like 27 notifications, and I said, "What?
I saw
what
you
got God. Notifications for?" Yeah. So I go back and look, and I knew that this could happen. That you, when you posted your picture, that it could make it as a post, so everybody sees it.
Right.
But I thought that you had to check a box or do something to make it do that, and I didn't see any boxes, so I assumed it didn't do that. So I was like, all right, well, it's not the end of the world, but let me go to my profile, see if I can just delete it from my profile.
Because right.
I don't, those are stupid. I updated my profile picture. Y'all don't care about that. Like, that is not something that's world news. I appreciate the comments.
We need it. I want to see it.
But, I mean.
Looking good.
But I go to my profile to delete it. And I had also, when I posted the other 167, 1 through 5 episode on Instagram, I accidentally hit the button and shared that to my profile, too.
I saw that.
And that's cool. And I'll start doing that. But if you go to my Facebook right now, I think it's really important to know that while I'm trying to do all this digital wizardry and stuff like that, the last 3 posts in my Facebook feed right now, I didn't mean to do.
It was an accident. Yeah, there you go. So
I didn't mean to.
That's why I just stay out. Because I know I'm going to post something. What in the world am I doing here?
Yeah. So, wow. But I really enjoyed listening back to the first. So I've listened back through 1 through 7.
Yeah.
I've edited those down roundabout way how I ended up doing that, but I've got 1 through 5 has been posted as a recap episode. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed going back and listening through it all, and I really loved. I enjoy our conversations.
Sure,
they're the coolest conversations. I had so much fun with them, but it was also kind of cool to get down to. Okay, aside from us joking about our technology woes and all that kind of stuff, when you really get to the meat of what was the theme, there were things that I noticed as themes that I hadn't recognized as themes all along, you know, and maybe you did. I don't ever know how much you know where we're going.
I think it's one of just staying and, you know, listening and thinking about, okay, Lord. And oftentimes as a pastor, when you talk with folks, you want to hear, all right, what is it that the Lord keeps bringing up in their life? Whether it's maybe it's an obedience issue, maybe it's faith, maybe it's dealing with pride, or maybe it's and that's what you're listening for. And you're just, okay, Lord, if you're going that track, then Lord, help me to recall some verses or things that deal with that. So I think it's just, that's the Lord. And, you know, as we go, we don't come in here with a script, even though I got my Bible, I got notes. This is what I was going to say in chapel with my 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And so we don't come in here with a script. You write down some notes of, hey, I want to ask him about X. This is straight from the hip. So I always take this as, okay, Lord, wherever you want to take it. And I think he does. I mean, there are some things that I sure wasn't thinking about talking about that today.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of those where there's been something that we haven't planned on talking about, and we talk about it. And there have been times that's been really cool in that moment. I heard something cool from it. But there's been a lot from listening back to it that you've said, or even things that I've said that I've heard, and I've thought, that seemed to me like that's something we just started talking about 3 weeks ago. But no, that was the first episode. Legalism versus relationship.
Right.
That seems like a newer thing to me. Because we had an episode named after that. I felt like that's where it started. No, about 10 minutes or something into the very first episode, you bring that up.
And yeah, because that's we all battle against that.
Yeah. And this was the coolest thing. So sometime during this break, and I don't know, you know, it's a long thing to try to describe, but I started to see a little bit more clarity on a lot of things. I think the analogy I thought of a lot, you used the radio waves analogy. And
right.
It's a really good way to describe it. And there's something maybe for the younger folks, especially if you are used to it, you can just punch in 101.9.
Right.
But what you're referring to is probably more the old school radio dial. You had to dial that thing.
You got to tune it in. Yeah, they have no clue about that.
Yeah. So if you're trying to dial in the 101.9 or 88.9 on the old school, you know, television knobs, see, this is why we video. You can do this and describe that. On those things, you could, if you're at 84 or 88, if you're trying to get to 88.9 and you're at 97.3, you can't hear anything but static. Like, you're not going to hear anything close. But when you get close, you could hear some words, and that can be a dangerous spot because you might think you heard it and miss a really important word.
It might be the Hispanic channel.
Yeah, you could hear. Yeah, that's right. It could be the Hispanic channel blending in, and you can hear something that you may hear everything else crystal clear except that one word from God, and it was God's voice.
Right.
But if that one word was don't, it's a game changer. You know, so it's,
and the thing of it is right now in this room, there are radio waves right around us. Yeah. 89.3 is in here somewhere through the air that if I had a frequency I could dial in, yeah, I got it.
It's there.
So God, I like to think of that as, you know, God's speaking, and he wants to speak to his people. We just got to be in the place to hear.
So I felt like, and this is a very broad statement that talks about my whole life.
Right.
If you think back to maybe, it's probably about October. That's probably why I've quit at episode 7, because I kind of know what comes 8, 9, 10, 11. That wasn't exactly my brightest shining moment. So I've been holding off at episode 7 for a while. When we get to around, like, you know, episode 7, 8, 9, somewhere in that ballpark, there's a place where you talked about, or I talked about having, knowing what I wanted to do and having time to do it.
Right.
You talked about that being a place of peace. That was true then. It's just way more true now.
Right.
Okay. So as you zero in more on those waves, and I also thought about it as like a, if you're looking for a diamond on a football field, you get close to it, you'll see the glare.
Right.
You get 5 yards away, it might look like a nickel, it might look like whatever. The closer you get, the more clearly you can see what it is you're
that's right there.
So maybe in October I could see it, and it was God's will, and now it's a little bit more clear focus. And a lot of that's with the show and going back and hearing things from the show. And it's like, oh, there's a very clear theme in this. And that legalism versus relationship, I wanted to really talk a little more about that.
Okay.
Maybe not just today, but I think it's a really, really important thing. Because when we first started this, I would say if you just put it on a, wrote them down and said, which of these do you think is your view of God? Definitely relationship over legalism. I've never been a legalism guy.
Right.
But I didn't really grasp what that was about probably at the beginning of this. And now we've kind of slowly got to this point where I'm like, now I get the legalism relationship.
And even our relationship, we can make it into a legalistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can make following Christ about a bunch of rules.
Mm-hmm.
without it being called legalism, without us thinking we're legalists, but okay, I got to go do this, I got to go do this, I got to go to church, I got to, versus no, there's a difference between I got to and I get to. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a difference between, because I'm really struggling with this, because Sunday, the text we're going to be preaching from is Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph lose Jesus for 3 days or 5 days, depending on how you read the text, and I'll explain that Sunday, but they lose the boy, and he's in the temple. And I love what he says, I must be about my father's business, or I must be in my father's house. Whoa, well, that's a must be. Doesn't that sound like that almost sounds like legalism to me, but it almost is, okay, I've given myself to be about the Father's business. And there's a difference between, okay, this is a must that I know I'm going to be about my Father's business. That's a big overarching versus the little details is what we like to put in there of, well, I've got to do this and I've got to read. If I read 15 verses a day, God will be happy with me. And I think that's the other thing is there's nothing wrong with I've got to or I must, you know, do my daily devotions, read, search the scriptures. It's the what we add to it in order that God will accept me or so that God will love me or God's going to bless me if I do. No, God loves you and God's blessing you and God cares for you. And whether you do this or not, you want to do it because you love him, not because, well, I want him to bless me. Well, he's already done that. And he's doing that. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6.
Yeah. It was, when you, there were just so many good places I could go with that. But starting probably with, at some point I talked about how I kind of saw God as a strict older brother.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And I've really gotten to see the loving father lately.
Yeah, and I think compassionate,
that,
caring.
Yeah. And I think it was a big thing to me on that. It probably goes back to that one episode we kind of talked about this a little bit, me seeing God's perspective. I think that when we focus so much on we need to seek God, we need to look for God, it's us looking for him. That's an important part of it, without a doubt. But I think there's something that we don't think about enough is turning that back around and trying to see ourselves from God's perspective and to see situations from his perspective, see things through his eyes.
I agree.
Because I hate to use this term, but I only hate to use this term because of how much it gets thrown around in society. But if you want to love yourself, there's no better way to do it than to try to turn things around. You can't really. I hate self-love, and I'm not trying to be all self-love stuff. But if you're looking for a friend who's never going to let you down,
right?
Who's always going to be there and never mess up and never drop the ball and never do whatever, you cannot find that here,
right?
Especially in yourself. All right.
I get you.
But you flip it around and see things from his perspective, and all of a sudden you see all kinds of love, and you see love for yourself and other people, and that's been an interesting thing for me to grasp. But then what it's led to has been really cool too, and just being able to see how it changes the way you see situations and what you think is important, really.
I think you're right. I think that's something, and I think this is important because you would not believe the number of people that I counsel. Time in and time out, that deal with self-image, self-worth, self, you know, and they'll see themselves as, you know, and in a way there is that kind of, you know, we looked at it Sunday in Luke chapter 7. Now the centurion said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not even worthy, Jesus, to come to you. And there has to be that little bit of that humility. But here's the thing. We get our self-worth, our self-image, and our self-love from who we are in Christ. Not from who we are. Mm-hmm. Who I am is terrible. And who I am is going to give me nothing. But who I am in Christ, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm adopted, I'm redeemed. I mean, I could go on and on about who I am in Christ. And when I know who I am in Christ, there's I don't want to say a confidence, but there is a confidence. Mm-hmm. And there is a faith and there is an assurance that says, no, he's got me. Mm-hmm. And there's a confidence in knowing that no matter what you're in, whether it's somebody said something about you or somebody's putting you down. No, I know who Christ, I know what I can walk in my righteousness or walk in his righteousness, knowing that, no, I know who I am in Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to, as I listen back to some of the things, I know you and I've talked a lot about the spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, spiritual. And I think that's why one of the things that's important is, and this morning I was just looking through the scriptures, and a passage came out, 2 Corinthians 10:3. And I think I've mentioned this on the show, but I may not have. But it is, we got to take every thought captive to Christ. Right, that's what it says. It says it talks about spiritual war.
I want to pull down strongholds. That's one of those that makes sense to me by about April.
Yeah, because
that's what I find. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you said first 4 or 5 episodes. I'm like, sounds good. Yeah. No idea what that means.
So I'm going to take I'll just read it real quick. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." And we'll talk about that. "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And listen, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Here's what that means. Next time the enemy wants to whisper something in your ear, basically saying, you're no good. God doesn't love you. Where's God? If God really cared for you, you wouldn't be going through this right now. Or, you see how sorry you are? If you were in account, you wouldn't be doing this. Then you need to take that thought, which is a lie, because he's the father of lies. You need to take that thought captive to Christ. Think about what it means to be captive, locked up. It is sealed. It is secured. And so I take that thought and I take it to God's word. And I say, okay, when the enemy says, you're no count, wait a minute. I'm a co-heir with Christ. When the enemy says, well, if you were any count, God's not going to forgive you for that. God doesn't love you when you do that. Well, no, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, God don't care for you. No, God demonstrated his great love for me that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. I take that captive. In other words, I take that lie and I bring it to the truth. And I say, no, I'm going to set my mind and I'm going to lock my mind. If you think about captive, I'm going to lock my mind on the truth and not let the lies of the enemy and not let that crazy stuff get in there. So now when I look at self-image and I look at self-worth, no, okay, I know in my own flesh, Ben Pierce, yeah, I don't battle according to the flesh. I battle according to the spirit, and my spirit's a new creation in Christ. And so when I know I'm a new creation and I know I can walk in him, yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's where, again, peace, hope, all that humble confidence we talked about. Yeah, it comes from him.
Yeah, and I think I'm trying to think which of these two things I want to tackle first, because they both kind of somewhat tie back. I think that it's funny what you're talking about right now reminds me an awful lot of a thought that I had this morning that I'm still. It's like this is kind of like a fresh thing. It needs to marinate a little bit more, but it's kind of ironic. It's a lot like what. It sounds like it's tied to what you're saying a little bit.
Right.
Let me start with this, though. The legalism versus relationship thing,
okay,
I think will bring me back to that pretty quickly.
I got you.
So there are very few rules that we can say are universal and we'll never know. There's some.
I mean, there's over 600 in the Old Testament. That's right. Where the Jews fell into, you got to do all these things.
Right. Okay.
Okay. You're right. Universal.
Yeah. So if we talked, I think there's some. So there's an element of, is this the chicken or the egg kind of thing in our show that we seem to say a lot. If you make your walk with God about following the set of rules that he wants you to follow, it's going to be actually impossible. What I was thinking about there are going to be times, very simple examples, where you and God will tell me to do one thing and you to do something else.
Okay.
And it could be a simple thing. Go to this church, and he's telling you, don't go to that church.
Right.
It's just too kind. If I do what he told you to do, I'm disobeying.
Right.
If you do what I do. So if we say, okay, I think this is a fair thing to say, if we wanted a very simple definition of sin, it's disobeying God.
Okay.
Is that
Okay. Yeah.
So
I think that's great.
Okay. So if disobeying God is the definition of sin, and God may tell you to do one thing and me to do the opposite, then that means that we can't go by the same rules. Now, there's some staples. Don't kill anybody. Yeah, yeah. That one's a pretty
good one. That's the word for you across the board.
Love, the Ten Commandments are staples. Yeah, those work across the board. Love your neighbor, treat others as you want to be treated, love God, seek God's righteousness, all these are staples. But within your relationship with God, your obedience, I can't tell you what to do.
Right.
99.999% of situations, I can't tell you exactly what to do.
Right.
That's between you and God. The relationship trumps the rules, because you can't write rules that'll fit to that.
Right.
So I said I would get that back to what you were saying earlier. But I do think, like, when I'm thinking about trying to seek God, I mean, I have to say things like so literal. So when you say God's a loving father,
right.
then I'm going to start treating him like my kids treat me. The other day, yeah, I'm riding back from Charlotte and Gabe randomly, like we're just riding along. He hadn't spoken in 30 minutes. He goes, I love you, Dad. Mm-hmm. I was like, love you too, buddy. And he does it all the time. And I just thought, love you, Dad. Yeah. Like, you know what, man? I should do that more often. Yeah, so it's just little things. Yeah. I've tried to do it with work. I treat it when it's work, he's boss. You know, I call him boss.
Do you work as unto the Lord? That's right. That's
right. And when I had yesterday, I was talking to somebody and I almost said something. I was like, you know, I better talk to him about that first. I try to do, but the more you do that, you start to develop that relationship. The rules are custom to you. It's whatever he tells you to do. Is the rule. Well,
and I think therein lies too, as you grow in Christ. It doesn't necessarily become about the rules as much as it becomes about the character. Mm-hmm. And Galatians 5 being the fruit of the Spirit. So that as I walk with the Lord and as I grow in the Lord, that fruit is singular. That all nine characteristics are going to be in our life. So now, rather than, so I'm operating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And so now I'm operating in character, not just, okay, everybody says I got to do X. And, you know, the thing of it is, we can, even in our obedience from time to time, if we make it about, okay, this specific act, even in our obedience, we can have a wrong attitude.
Yeah, and you had mentioned at some point, see, these are the things that where you've taken it to a different level on me, right? Like, I thought it's this. No, seriously. Like, I thought it's this, and then you even challenged me, like, on when you said, I said something about a checklist or putting something on your phone. One time I put something on my phone. I put a reminder on my phone. And when I put it on there, God said, if you got to put a reminder, I'm not that important. That's a good point. But it was right after you had said, you know, you make your own rules. Even having a checklist every day is kind of like you're turning it into your own legalism. I never thought of that.
It can. It doesn't have to, but it can. And I mm-hmm. think that's where you always have to go back to. It's always about the heart. And it's always about the character. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we'll forget. One of my favorite little stories is, you know, little Johnny can't sit still in church, you know, and everything else. And he's standing up. Mama finally kind of jerks a knot in and says, you're going to sit down. And he looks at her and he says, well, I'm standing up on the inside. Yeah. That's sometimes we have to look and say, all right, Lord, I'm obeying, but am I standing up on the inside? It's my heart. You know, and I think that's where... Oftentimes, that's where we really have to look at it. It goes back to a matter of the heart. Is my heart doing this not out of so people can see me, not so people can applaud me, or I'm earning something or getting merit? No, I want it to be from a heart that really cares and loves the Lord.
And this is going back to something that you said in one of the episodes. It was a pretty major topic of one of the shows. When you're saying, what is my motivation for doing this?
Right.
I think if I'm asking myself that question, I'm not focused on God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're focusing on God, you're not thinking about yourself. That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Like you said in that sermon, if humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's not thinking about yourself at all.
Yeah.
I think it's, if you're sitting around thinking about, well, am I doing this for the right reason? What's somebody going to think of this? What's somebody going to think? Then you ain't thinking about God. You know what I mean?
and to me, that is where, I think that's where that personal relationship goes of abiding with the Lord and hearing from Him, that I don't have to sit around and think about it. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit does a good job of letting me know, all right, man, you need to check your heart on this one. Yeah, you may be doing these things, but you need to check your heart. Need to check your attitude on why are you doing this. It doesn't have to be me saying, no, the Holy Spirit does a great self-diagnosis or a time when He'll send in and say, you know, warning light on your dashboard and say, you might want to check this. And so and I think that's where it comes by walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. That's really all these things we're talking about. They're really the same thing.
Well, humility was such a big topic for us for several shows, and it came up, and heck, it might have come up in every show, I don't know, but...
I think it probably will.
But, I think that's a good reason. There's a good reason for that, because humility is the greatest gift God can give you. I mean, if you can find that humility, that's where your peace is.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to find peace without humility. Like there's got to be like a one-to-one correlation between those two.
And when you look at the life of Christ, if we are as our spiritual maturity going to become like Christ, then I don't know of anybody more humble than he was. And if that's the way we're to be, then yeah, we need to be growing in that humility. So you're right. I think it's probably just as faith is. I think without faith, it's impossible to please God. But even if you think about it, faith requires a humility. If you stop and think about it, because I got to get to a place where I realize, no, I'm trusting God for everything. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. And that's a truth that we have to realize is I can't.
And it's that one word right there, everything, is the thing. It's not 99%. It's not everything but that one thing. It's every single last thing. That's the hardest part of it. But it's also that's what you have to – but the thing is once you give up that last 10% and it's all his, then your worries go with it. You know what I mean?
That's right. It's the things we hold on to that drive us most crazy.
We talked about spiritual battle. There is something that was kind of interesting that I have sort of noticed over the last little bit. And it's also tied to those warning signs. I mean, you said on one – let me say this first. This is what I was trying to say. On one show you said you want God to break your heart when you asked that, you know, you said, break my heart. That's something that I get that like 10, 12 times a day because I am so bad at it. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a weakness. But when I was listening back to those first five shows, it was like nails on the chalkboard every time I opened my mouth.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Wow. So it's also a blessing to look back at seeing, it's what you said about that growth, but it's also, it's not your growth. It's looking back and saying, wow, that's how much different he is.
And look what the Lord's doing.
And also understanding how much work have we got to go. If we've seen this much already, oh my gosh, there's got to be a whole lot more behind this. And but there was something else from that spiritual battle show. I want to circle back to that because there was some stuff that I said on that I'll change now. When you talked about the warning signs, I misunderstood, and not misunderstood you, it just... In my mind, I was thinking about a different thing. But I even said on that we could, you want to fast forward 6 months, I might have a different answer about it.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. I remember that conversation quite vividly.
Yes. Yeah. So, really, really interesting thing that I've noticed here very recently, part of, with the YouTube stuff, me doing that a little bit, I started to notice something. YouTube was something that I kept getting brought up a lot, but I thought it was just me. I'm seeing all these people getting rich off YouTube, and I'm a money guy. I'm like, how are you doing this? I mean, as I said on my videos, they're getting rich off of dancing cats doing cartwheels. I don't understand how this is happening. But I kind of learned all that a little bit, and then I get into this podcast and stuff and doing whatever. Well, not too long ago, I started thinking back to, or I kind of looked at where I'm at. I'm like, this is like the exact same plan that I sort of had, but it's just a better version of it. It makes more sense now. When was the last time I had this, and where was it with God at that point? Is this one of those times where I'm checking back to where God was? And I kind of remembered it, and this was basically right before I just hit the red button of life and just said, let's just destroy the whole thing and build it back. So I'm like, okay, that's what was going on at that time? God was I remember being very clearly tugged to do the YouTube stuff at that point.
Right.
To the point that I'm like, I'll get to it in a minute. But I was distracted. What the distraction was, and I'm going to tell about it here. A lot of people know what it is. But I look back at it, and then I also fast forward to maybe 4, 5, 6 months later when I was so mad. And you know what? This is one of those things I would have said 6 months ago. I'll tell you, I was mad at God. Me and God were fighting.
Yep.
And that's not something you want to admit, but it's an emotion of a relationship, isn't it? I mean, you're going to have that now. You need to always remember in the argument, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and accept it.
Yeah, it's better just go ahead and admit it.
But now I look at it, and it's like, no, that fight was real, and he wasn't gone. Like, those dark ages, I joke with my mom, I just call it the dark age. That 5 years, it wasn't that he wasn't there. He was there the whole time, and it's just that he was mad at me, and he had a right to be mad. But I look at seeing now what he had in mind, it's like, for my life, period. Not just for a job or a this or whatever. Just looking at the life that he had in mind for me and kind of where I see the future from this perspective. Not where I'm at right now, but the life that I see ahead of me now with his peace and all these things. That being the life that he wanted for me. And I'm sitting here goofing off and not being productive. I don't blame him for being mad. And I think that fight was real. But now looking back at it, that's more reassuring that even when I thought I had walked away completely and he was nowhere to be found, he was still there. He was mad. He was letting me know.
And I think it's kind of like, if you stop and think about it, I know as we're both dads, but I no offense, but I've been doing the dad thing a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times, and you'll see it, you probably already have, there are times when your kids do some things that especially as they get to be adults, that, okay, I can't change that, but it sure does not. Boy, that just gets under my, it chaps my hide, so to speak. At the same time, I never stopped loving them. And I'm not going to treat them different. I'm not going to be, you know, whether they got in trouble or they did something, and you're like, I taught you better than that. You know better than that. And but you still love them. And you still, and you know, I had to have a talk a time or two with several of my kids when they did something, when they, you know, hey, we all go to college and we all did some stupid stuff in college.
I told my mom this the other day, just kind of ran, and you, something else you'd say on the show, there's a difference between, I believe the word you used is worrying and
concern.
Yeah. That's it. I changed it slightly in my text to my mom, and then I heard it back in the show. I was like, oh, yeah, we said that. But I told mom the other day, I've kind of learned how to care without worrying.
Right. That's important. I like care better than concern.
Because I care about all these things, right? And that's the way you said it. You care about your children. You care about the world. You care about these things. I do care about all of it. I care about the pain that I see in other people's lives. I care about the pain in my life. I care about all of it.
Right.
But one of the things that I've been so terrible about this, and for my half of the audience, they're laughing at this, thinking they're joking. Yeah, they've known this forever. But I'm so bossy and opinionated and telling people what they have to do, and that you have, this is the way you need to do it, and I think I'm doing it for their good, right?
Right.
And you know what? Maybe I'm right. It's not even about whether you're right or not. Nobody, even if I am seeing what God wants me to see, nobody wants to be told how stupid they are and how wrong they are and be beaten down and all that kind of stuff. It's still encouragement. And then what you do is, I guess in that situation, I guess what I've been trying to do is share your opinion if it's asked for. Otherwise, don't. Unless it's, you know, that's not black and white, but more or less, not a bad rule of thumb probably for someone like me. But even that's probably not, that rule of thumb is not a good rule of thumb for everybody. That's my personality. I got to err against that, you know?
That's it.
And, but within that, sometimes it's just understanding, like, I'm not going to change their mind, and there's no reason to pick a fight and make it look, I'm here to encourage and pray. And then that really becomes your assignment for them, is to pray for that person, to pray that God will work on their heart and work on seeing that.
You're right. And I think oftentimes too, and I think this is one of the things that, as far as being, you know, walking with the Lord and helping others to walk in the Lord, there's a key word called tact. How you go about telling someone or helping someone to see, hey, this might be the way, that goes a long way. Because, yeah, I'll be the first to tell you, I had somebody the other day basically saying, I asked you for this, and I'm not going to ask you again. I was like, whoa. And I told him, I said, you know, a better response would have been, how is this going? Can you get this to me?
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way that the thing was sent, you ain't getting it at all now. I mean, that's just me. But I did. But there's a part of me that's like, you know, we got to think about how we come across and how we, you know, always want to come across as kind and compassionate and loving. And, you know, and again, that goes back to may Christ be seen in me.
Yeah.
You know, and how we present ideas. See, and I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing. You know, hey, you might want to rethink this, but you got to present it in a way that, and we can do that. I have to watch that.
Yeah.
As a pastor, I always want to preach a sermon to somebody. No, you got to stop that and just be a friend and help them to see, just present the truth. I can take you to the water. You got to drink it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's, I can imagine that being a really constant battle for you. That's because it's just, it's,
and you don't push them.
Yeah.
You present it. Yeah. And, hey, if you're smart enough, you'll drink it.
Even when we went back to the episodes where we kind of talked about witnessing, even that was something that I totally misunderstood from church. And I don't want to – I feel a little bit bad picking on people at church as much as I do. But we kind of pick on the people at church, there's a very good chance that they're not judging you nearly as much as you think they are, right?
Yeah, I agree. Something
that,
I agree.
We put some of that on ourselves. But, I mean, there's a lot of great – I got a funny one here, a quick side story. So they're doing the David Jeremiah study on Thursday morning. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, everything went on tomorrow. I'll go check that out, whatever. I did not know what I was signing up for.
Right,
I show up up here and you, I don't have to talk, you know who your Thursday morning 10 o'clock crowd is, right? So I get there, I'm looking around, I said, well, I mean, this is fun. This will be cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were inviting me out. So the study's for an hour. And then after that, we're going to do, we get together in study groups after we watch the video. And then we all go to Firehouse Subs and I'm thinking, I like Firehouse Subs. I mean, we're just going to make this and I just block off my Thursdays, I guess.
And I think the average age of that group's probably, I mean, Thursday, 10 o'clock. That's what you got to think.
Didn't think that one through.
But as soon as you go to Firehouse Subs.
I didn't make the Firehouse. Okay. I only had an hour out.
But I tell you what, they'd take.
I felt terrible that I had to leave after the video, but I only had an hour block. I didn't
know it was a day. But those, and you got to figure, hey, they got the time. But those are some sweet, sweet people.
They are. I love them.
And I tell you what, you if you did go there, man, you'd be like the mayor. They'd be wanting to, they'd treat you like royalty.
Well, I enjoyed it, and I'm going to put it on my, I don't think I've got anything on this Thursday yet, but I'm going to block it off for a current thing to try to make. Because it was a cool study, too. I enjoyed what he was, some of the things he covered on.
And I think that's one of the things. So we're talking about the other 167. Man, you might find church ain't as judgy as you think they are. Mm-hmm. Granted, some are.
Oh, yeah.
Shame on. But some are, hopefully, some are to the point of they understand, hey, I'm just as humble and just as, except for the grace of God, man, I got nothing to judge you on. I ain't judging you.
Well, you know what? That's a good. This is a great way to close this up. Yeah. Because I got to go in 4 minutes.
Okay.
Speaking of not being judged in churches.
Yeah.
How well do you remember the day I joined here?
I mean, I think I remember it fairly well.
Do you remember forgetting how many kids I had when we came up here?
Yeah, I did.
So this is funny. I was thinking about that the other day because to set the story here, I had been. I'd gone to Baptist Grove.
Yeah.
Heather and I were married. We had Gabe. We had Reese.
Yeah, too.
Yep. And then I did go to church some for a bit, but I didn't go over there.
We didn't talk much. Yeah.
Talked a couple of times. And I think at that point, I had been coming here for about a year, but you and I had probably only had a conversation maybe twice beyond just like a, hey, how are you, passing by, things like that.
And I remember we had a phone call one day. I was walking around in the sanctuary by myself talking to you.
I remember we had a couple of those. So Christian probably came up at some point, but I hadn't really thought. It couldn't have come up once or twice.
Yeah.
And you've got such a large memory of me with just those two. So I come up here during the invitation, and I say, you introduce me.
Casually,
this is Gary. He has two awesome, great children.
Can play golf.
Can play golf, yeah. Used to. Like Jeff Fox would say, I used to do it. All right, so you said there's three, has two children. Well, yeah. I know you've not, but see, everybody else up there has seen me come in. I mean,
with three?
No. I was still seeing Christian's mom at the time. She has three. So I had a weird combination. It could be me and her three kids and ours. It could be me and my two and her three. I mean, so I'm sitting there thinking,
you could have been there with as many as four or five.
I could have been there with as many as six.
Good, great.
And I had to be. So I'm sitting there at the front of this church in front of 200 people. And I'm thinking, I don't really want to have to correct him.
Yeah,
but everybody out here is real confused about why.
Man's got more youngins than the Brady Bunch.
How's he come in the Partridge Family every week? And then the two of them. So I had to correct you. And I just suddenly, I went,
how many?
I said three.
Yeah.
Now listen, love you like a brother, man. Constructive professional feedback, though. At that point, I understand you didn't really know any different. Yeah, I get that. But the way to handle that,
I got it.
You could have stuttered your way through. So do we have a motion? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you, have a motion. Believe me. No. Three? Not Pastor Ben.
No.
He goes, three. Where'd that third one come from?
I said, right now.
Right now. 200 Baptists.
You didn't tell me about that.
200 Baptists that I know you're about to tell to come up here and shake my hand. You're going to lead up with the third one.
I am so sorry. My wife gets on me all the time about quit being. She'll say it something like this. You don't have to be so real that you say whatever comes on your mind.
That's right.
It happens. And I got to stop that because I will. I mean, that young couple that joined this past couple
of
weeks ago.
That's what reminded me of it.
That's what reminded me of it. We're getting married. I'm like, you ain't got anything you want to announce, dude? I mean, here's a great chance, man. You can guess. And I got to stop that. That's what reminded me of it.
I hadn't thought about that until the day when you did that. When you did it, I thought, he did it to them,
Yeah, sure.
We could create a highlight reel of your
Keaton, our IT guy, he is very good at, when we do podcast or, yeah. or I've got one I'm doing right now called Who Died and Made You King, where we're looking at the kings of Israel. And, man, there are so many outtakes and things I'll say. And he's got a – and then when I preach and I get kind of – oh, he loves it.
Oh,
he, and so he's putting together a highlight – because I told him, I said, here's what I want at my funeral. I want you to put together a highlight reel of my greatest moments when I was going off. And he said, no, I've got something even better. And he showed me some of those things. I was like, oh, my Lord, I'm terrible. I got to stop that. So
quit being
– yeah, and you get up there and you get to talking to people and just, ah, I'm sorry about that, man. Golly.
Well, I want to close on this, though. The funny thing about it was that even after the fact – like. I responded back to what you said, and I gave a very direct answer.
Yeah.
I said, I'll tell you exactly where it came from. But they all like were laughing at it. Everybody came up with super cool. Like it wasn't a big deal to them,
no.
Right? But then that goes back to your pride. I was the only one in the room who cared. That was just funny. That was just it. It was again not but, the two, but you could have stumbled off. No.
Yeah.
You go again. You're like,
oh yeah. We're,
no, tell me more about this. I'm intrigued. After church ministry. All right, well, I got to go get him. So I'll
Brother.
See you. Thank you, man.
Thank you.